जय राधा माधवा इंद्र बिहारी, गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधवा इंद्र बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे Thank you. हरे गोपावन हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन चंद्र, श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बल सुभद्रा महारानी, श्री श्री गौन कश्यप बालाजी की। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरकृशे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम्। भगवानपि भारत तत् उपनीतार्हणः सूक्तवाक् वाकेनातितराम् उदितगुण गणावतार सुजयः प्रियव्रतम् आदिपुरुषस्तं सदय हासावलोक इति होवाच। भगवान् लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा अपि मोरोवर भारत ओ किंग परीक्षित तत् बाय देम उपनीत ब्रॉट फॉरवर्ड अर्हणः वर्शिपेबल पैराफर्नेलिया सूक्त अकॉर्डिंग टू वैदिक एटिकेट वाकेन बाय लैंग्वेज अतितराम हाईली उदित प्रेज्ड गुणगण क्वालिटीज अवतार बिकॉज ऑफ द डिसेंट सुजयः whose glories Priyavratam unto Priyavrata, Adipurushaha, the original person, Tam unto him, Sadaya, with compassion, Hasa, smiling, Avalokaha, who's looking, Iti, thus, Ha, certainly, Vavacha, said. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada ki. My dear King Parikshit, because Lord Brahma had finally descended from Satyaloka to Bhuloka, Narada Muni, Prince Priyavrat, and Swayambhu Manu came forward to offer him objects of worship and to praise him in highly qualified language according to Vedic etiquette. At that time, Lord Brahma, the original person of this universe, felt compassion for Priyavrata and, looking upon him with a smiling face, spoke to him as follows. So three words are used here. Say, Sadaya Hasa Avaloka. Avaloka is actually merciful glance. Hasa is smile. And Sadaya is of the heart. Compassionate heart. Sadaya Avaloka Hasa. Three words are used. Purport. That Lord Brahma descended from Satyaloka to see Priyavrata indicates that the matter was very serious. Narada Muni had come to advise Priyavrata about the value of spiritual life, knowledge, renunciation and bhakti. And Lord Brahma knew that Narada's instructions were very impressive. Therefore, unless Lord Brahma personally went to Gandhamadana Hill to request Priyavrata, Lord Brahma knew that the prince would not accept his father's order. Brahma's purpose was to break Priyavrata's determination. Therefore, Brahma first looked upon Priyavrata with compassion. His smile and compassionate features also indicated that although Brahma would request Priyavrata to accept household life, Priyavrata would not be out of touch with devotional service. By the blessings of a Vaishnava, everything is possible. This is described in Bhakti Sam Sindhu as Kripa Siddhi, or perfection attained simply by the blessings of a superior person. One usually becomes liberated and perfect by executing the religious principles set down in the Shastras. Nonetheless, many persons have achieved perfection simply by the blessings of a spiritual master or a superior. Priyavrata was the grandson of Lord Brahma, and as a joking competition sometimes takes place between grandfather and grandson and grandfather, in this case also Priyavrata was determined to remain in meditation, whereas Brahma was determined that he rule the universe. Thus, Lord Brahma's affectionate smile and glance meant, "My dear Priyavrata, you have decided not to accept household life, but I have decided to convince you that you must accept it." Actually, Brahma had come to praise Priyavrata for his high standard of renunciation, austerity, penance and devotion, so that he would not be deviated from devotional service, even though he would accept household life. In this verse, one important word is Suktavakena by Vedic hymns. In the Vedas, there is the following prayer to Lord Brahma. Hiranyagarbha samavartatagre bhutasya jatah patireka asit. Brahma was received with the appropriate Vedic hymns. And because he was welcomed, according to the Vedic etiquette, he was very pleased. So this is the heading I gave, adjusting without compromising. So, very nice, beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada. Sadaya, Avaloka, and Hasa, these words are used. Lord Brahma arrived in Bhuloka. Lord Brahma leaving the Satyaloka and coming to Bhuloka is not ordinary thing. Such a great personality. Therefore, it is said sometimes if some matter is a very serious matter, important matter, one should go to the home of a person instead of meeting him in an official place. Because when you go to home is a place where people have their hearts. So then one can sit with him peacefully and
discuss the matter, especially if the matter is a serious one. So Brahma descended to Bhuloka. That gesture of Brahma descending in this world itself shows that there is something of very pressing concern even for Brahma. Whether it is heavenly rule or earthly rule, both are actually under the supervision of Brahma. Brahma is very concerned. Therefore, you find in the fourth canto, you know, when there was a fight between a heavenly king and earthly king, Prithu was an earthly king, Indra was a heavenly king. They had a difference in opinion. And earthly king wanted to do the 100th yajna, and the heavenly king did not want him to complete, because he will become equal to the heavenly king. So he stole away the horse. So that time, seeing the tussle between the two, Brahma descended also again. So Brahma came and said, what are you guys doing? You both are administrators of the universe. One is administering the heaven as well as, you know, nourishing the earth, and another one is administrating the earth and supposed to perform yajna for the heavenly beings. And as Krishna says, Devan Bhaveta Anenate Deva Bhavayantuha Parasparam Bhavayanta. So there has to be a good collaboration between heaven and earth. The earthly beings perform yajna for the heavenly beings, and then in turn they get all nourishment. So both are important. Earth is important, heaven is important, and both leaders should be in cooperation with each other. So at that time Brahma came to teach this. That time also was a serious matter. And then he adjusted the situation in such a way that Indra wouldn't be insecure anymore, and Prithu Maharaj would give up his effort to complete the 100th sacrifice, and was willing to bend himself to please Brahma and Lord Vishnu. So there is an example of adjusting the situation there. Somebody is insecure, and Brahma told Prithu, unnecessarily don't agitate this insecure fellow. You are not after heaven, you are after, you know, service to Lord's lotus feet in the eternal spiritual world. So you can forego this 100th sacrifice. So he adjusted the situation, which means whenever there is a cosmic disturbance, Brahma is one person who is most concerned, and he is one person everybody would consult. Like, you know, Bhudevi, you know, she saw that, she went and asked Brahma, my Lord, don't you see how the atrocious asuras have created havoc on earth? Even after that, you know, no action is being taken. So therefore I have come to complain to you. The big mountains and oceans don't pose any great burden for me, but the asuras who are non-devotees of God pose a great burden. So then Brahma took Bhudevi and many other demigods to the milk ocean, to Lord Vishnu, and then you know, requested Lord Vishnu to send an avatar. So Krishna came and defeated Kamsa. So in this way, the devatas also go to Lord Brahma, and then Brahma takes them to Vishnu. But Brahma, being the first created living being in this earth and being the Atma Bhu, the Swayambhu, is born from the Lord's navel, in the lotus. He is very dear to Lord Vishnu and son of Lord Vishnu. And he is the one to whom Lord handed over the Vedas, to hand it down to the living entities. And he is the one who is supposed to be the engineer of the universe on one hand, and administrator of the universe after constructing everything. So therefore everybody in the universe respects him very naturally, whether they be human beings or demigods, everybody. So you all know the specific situation here, that now Swayambhu Manu is in great need of a successor so that he can retire and go to forest. So in this purport which we read just now, here he says that this is the heading I gave, changing instructions as per time, place, circumstance. So Narada had trained Priyavrat, you know, in spiritual life and knowledge and renunciation and bhakti, all these things. After thorough learning from Narada, there is no question of turning back. Priyavrata is wise, he knows the Atma Tattvam, he knows the purpose of human life, to go back to Godhead. He was completely renounced from any of the worldly rat race. And he was a bhakta also, he was a devotee of the Lord. With all these things, he was sitting in Gandhamadana Parvat and doing meditation on the Supreme Lord, happily guided by Narada Muni. When Brahma came, he says that Brahma understood he won't accept his father Swayambhu Manu's order unless I come and teach him. So Brahma, what was his goal? His goal was to ensure that the world will have a king and the purpose will be served, the people will be taken care, protected. Otherwise, what will happen to the praja? The whole world will be you know, afflicted by the thieves and rogues who will loot the people, and the people may not follow the institution of Varnashrama, due to which they will live like cats and dogs and monkeys in another place, it is said in Bhagavatam. Why? Because monkeys means they will have no regulation in sex life, and they will be like dogs means they will fight with each other, isn't it? So in this way, the world will become unruly without a king, giving engagement to the mind and senses of the people. So without a king. Not only that, the Brahmanas have the knowledge, but for them to hand over the knowledge, they will need an administrative system to ensure that all the people get the Vedic wisdom and the provision and the facility. So without a king, people will be devoid of Atma Tattvam. They will simply eat, sleep and make merry. They will get degraded without a king. And also, the universe filled with all its facilities and amenities, you know, will not actually reach the need of every individual member of the society. For that, there is an organization required to ensure that all the grocery, all the vegetables, all the commodities in society will be spreaded to all the people appropriately, allocated, and taxation should be done and government should pay attention. All these things will completely stop. The whole machinery of governance of the whole world will stop without a king. So it's a very great concern, both for Swayambhu Manu and for Brahma also. So they were looking for a suitable candidate, and Brahma found Priyavrat had the script for ideal leader and to be a king. He saw that he has not only the ability to administrate the world, he also can be empowered to do great things if he accepts the rule. So generally in the Vedic times also, the Brahmanas would come together and verify the qualities of a leader. The very first quality should be, he should be a devotee of the Lord. Then he should have character. Then he should have the capability, skill, to be a king. And he should have the ability to, you know, rule over the people and bring about the law and order. He should have the ability. The king should have the ability. And the king should be submissive and willing to learn from the Brahmanas and be willing to adopt the principles in his own life as well as institute the principles for the people, for the society. He should be open and willing for that. And the king should be completely selfless, living only for the pleasure of, you know, Guru, Hari Guru, Vaishnavas and for the welfare of the people. He should be ready to give himself utterly. So they would see these qualities of the king. So if king has all these good qualities, they would choose the king. And then they would consult amongst each other, you know, what do you think about him? So generally the king's son becomes a successor, generally speaking, if he is qualified. Amongst king's sons also they will see who is most qualified. Generally, the eldest one is given the first opportunity, but if he is unqualified, then the next one, like that they would see. So here, Priyavrata was highly qualified to be a king, but he had got instruction from Narada for renunciation. So Therefore, Brahma had come here now, understanding that here is a capable person, but he's trying to renounce and go away from the world. That may be very good from a personal point of view for his own liberation and deliverance. But from the point of view of the world, you know, what will happen to the world? There is no one to rule the world. So therefore, sometimes the instructions are changed according to time, place, circumstance. I was reading, Prabhupada gave sannyas to two people and he called both of them, not together, one after another. One of them, he said, you see, I don't want you to be sitting here in the Vrindavan Dham here. You should take your bus, because already you have been running a bus. So go with the bus party, the wheel should be moving, and go place to place and distribute books and expand preaching. Without preaching, our movement will become stagnated. And the sannyasi was telling Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, I heard that the temples are nirguna. They are untouched by the three gunas. They are beyond the three gunas. So as a sannyasi, if I stay in the temple, will it not help me in my purity? Prabhupada said, that is true, Prabhupada said. So you can always come after 1 month, 2 months, you can come to temple. But at the most, you can stay only 3 days and then go back. Just stay for 3 days, again go out for distributing books and everything, he said. And sannyasi accepted the instruction and he pushed off. And then immediately after that, another sannyasi who took sannyas from Prabhupada, he came to take advice. And Prabhupada said, my instruction to you is, now that you have taken sannyas, you just be a temple president of Vrindavan temple and just stay here. Don't leave this place unless I tell you. So some disciples were bewildered saying this. Prabhupada told the first person, sannyasi shouldn't stay in a place more than 3 days. We should be moving out, traveling. And here Prabhupada is giving just another opposite instruction to another sannyasi to stay here and not move out at all. Then Prabhupada said, actually, according to the Desh Kalapatra, we have to give the instruction. And then he said, this personality whom I am making president in Vrindavan temple, actually he is doing very well. He has been doing very well as a leader. And he is maintaining the place very well. He is able to engage everybody in preaching, maintain the temple as well as everybody in preaching. Because he is doing the service well, just because he has taken sannyas, you remove a leader and send him out, then that will actually affect the normal course of running of the temple. So therefore, his being here will enhance his service and other service. So I told him to stay here. And then the other person, you know, staying in one place is not very good for certain people. If they stay in one place, they create problem for others and problem for themselves also. So just like running water is clean, stagnant water becomes stinking. For some people it is like that. If they are moving, it's very good for them. Because they don't develop attachments, mental attachments, and they don't create interpersonal clash with others and pick up quarrels. Always moving. Before any attachment or quarrel can develop, you move to the next place. So the acharya or guru knows what is best for each individual. So he has a broad vision. He can change the instruction according to the way, how the individual needs and how the community will be facilitated. So he knows, he will see from a large scale welfare point of view. So therefore Prabhupada gave such two different instructions to two different people. So oftentimes we in our conditioned stage are very narrow in our thought process, due to which we see things like a binary number, like one or zero, nothing in between. We are not able to see the, what do you call it, adjust the situation. Like for example, one may think that if one is a brahmachari, that means he is renounced. He is a vairagi, he is fully focused. And if somebody is moving out of the ashrama to become a married man, oh, that means he is getting entangled. He is getting entangled in family life. Now he is finished now. You know, now make money and put up a home, have wife and children, now you are gone now. So this is a very narrow-minded vision with which the general thought process goes in anybody's mind, like this. On the other hand, here Brahma is giving a map for Priyavrat, that actually, if you are very renowned and very knowledgeable and you are very devoted, then you maintain the same. You can be renowned, you can be knowledgeable, you can have devotion. But in another situation, for the sake of service, you continue with the same, but for the sake of service. And such a kind of thing especially was needed for great kings, those who had to rule the world. They have to be situated in a grihastha ashrama to take up the rulership. And they may have to do the royal duties also, they may have to do. So, the world has seen many, many great devotees like King Janaka, glorified for Nishkama Karma Yoga. Ambarish Maharaj, known for Bhakti Yoga, isn't it? Such kinds of kings actually, King Gaya, who is known for his care and administration that he offered to his people, is glorified in the pages of Bhagavatam. Shiva Chakravarti, known for his compassion. So in this way you will find there have been many religious and pious kings born in this world who actually are able to uphold dharma along with their rulership. But here Priyavrata is not just a dharmic person, he's a devotee, he's a very seriously practicing devotee. And Brahma has come to give him assurance that although I am asking you to change the gear from being in the renounced order to being in the worldly order with a wife and children and family. He says that, so two things Prabhupada says. By being a brahmachari and following the rules, regulations very strictly, one gradually, a bit by bit, one makes advancement. And there is another road in which you don't make bit by bit advancement, you make a great advancement by the blessings of the spiritual master. Where now, for example, the devotee may have a personal liking, like Upendra Prabhu, for example, once was working with Prabhupada, cooking for Prabhupada, very intimate disciple of Prabhupada. You know, before coming to Krishna consciousness, he had involved in some drug peddling, due to which he had to go to jail. But then the term was due and was waiting, but then by the time he had become a devotee, he was with Prabhupada, so the notice came to him that you have to come to jail for 6 months. And then later on, he told them that I have taken to this Krishna consciousness, I am doing this everything. So they interviewed him, and then finally they decided that the term will be only 1 month only. They made 6 months into only 1 month for him. So he came to bow down to Prabhupada, and he had tears in his eyes. He asked Prabhupada, can you please chant with me one round and inspire me, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I am always chanting with you. And he patted him on his back. And then Prabhupada told him, this 1 month, they may not even keep you for a month. They may keep you for a few days. Looking at your good qualities and character, they will send you back. Don't worry. So he was lamenting that Prabhupada is in the local temple, but I have to go to jail for a month. So he went, and after 10 days, the police people sent him back. After 10 days, he returned back, because in jail also he was doing Mangalarti, chanting, everything. So they saw his good behavior and they sent him back. So when he came back to temple, he was jubilant. Immediately he took up cooking for Prabhupada as an assistant. But 2 days he must have cooked. Then a letter came from New York saying that, Prabhupada, we have one new center coming up in Australia and we need a leader. And Upendra Prabhu would be the most suitable. So immediately Prabhupada called Upendra Prabhu and said, here is a wonderful opportunity for you. Can you please go and take up this responsibility? He asked Prabhupada, are you joking? Prabhupada said, no, it's a serious matter. Prabhupada said, there is nobody else available to go. And then Prabhupada, who will cook for you? Prabhupada said, cooking anybody can do, I'll find out somebody. He said, but this is a very important thing. So then Upendra Prabhu had to leave and go. So Upendra Prabhu, heart of hearts, was feeling, I was first separated from Prabhupada because I had to go to jail. Now I am being separated from Prabhupada because I have to go to Australia. So I want to be next to him and serve him, but I am not getting the opportunity. How unfortunate I am. At the same time, he understood it is a greater fortune to please Prabhupada by being away from him and act for the pleasure of Prabhupada by serving his mission. So this, in this way you will see the acharya, the guru knows who should be put in which situation to serve the mission best. So instead of one taking the control of the situation oneself in one's hand, because we have our own ideas of how what will be good for us. Although Upendra Prabhu felt that being with Prabhupada is good for me because by his association I'll remain strong, I can cook for him. And just before Upendra, there was another couple who were with Prabhupada, Gaurasundar Das and Govinda Dasi Mataji. They were with Prabhupada for months together. So Prabhupada told Govinda Dasi Mataji, want to serve Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you cannot serve me alone, you have to come with your husband. So she came with the husband and they both were serving Prabhupada. So Prabhupada had a nice time with Gaurasundar Prabhu, you know, discussing, sometimes debating with him on personal, impersonal. And then Mataji would cook, so they would serve Prabhupada together. So, but at one time, Gaurasundara Das Prabhu got some another assignment, he had to go. But Mataji was hanging around, she wanted to stay and assist Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, he said, Govindas, you are a first class secretary, you are the best cook I have seen, everything is wonderful, but you are in the body of a woman. That's your only problem. Don't worry, next life you will be a brahmachari. He said. So, and then he told her that, but now you have to go back. Wherever your husband is, you have to go and stay with your husband. You cannot serve me alone. It's inappropriate. And he sent her away. Now, she was very attached to serving the spiritual master like a daughter. But Prabhupada knows what is the best etiquette. He sent her back with the husband, to stay with the husband together. So, similarly, every disciple may have their own ideas on what will please me the most. She thought, if I am with Prabhupada, so cooking for Prabhupada and hearing his lectures, I will make so much advancement. From her personal point of view, it was good. From the worldly point of view, people seeing a sannyasi being attended to by a lady secretary and a cook, nobody will appreciate it. Neither is it a good precept or example for the world, nor will it be good for a sannyasi. So Prabhupada, understanding that, he told her you have to go with him. So whether it be Govinda Dasi Mataji or whether it be Upendra Prabhu, whoever it be, or whether it be for these two sannyasis, Prabhupada knew best what to do in each situation. Here Brahma, in the same manner, being the most learned personality within the universe, he assessed the situation and he understood that the world requires a capable leader and there is no one else available. Generally, the leader's population is very small. Even in many companies, they say they have this 80-20 rule, which means 80% ants and 20% elephants, they call it. So, there are 20% people who can take some responsibility, not very big leadership. And in that 20% also, there is only 2-3% who is actually people who can run the whole industry at a big level. Therefore, you will find the top committee in any company, big, huge companies, also is 4-5 people only. And they never allow those 5-6 people to travel in the same plane. They never allow. Because if something happens with the plane, then the whole company will be drowned. So, it's very rare to get a leader who has multifarious qualities all in one. It's very difficult. Even we have experience in Pune when we are sending devotees to other temples also. You always require a leader. Without the head, you know, in a body you can have, you know, body without hand, body without leg. Have you seen a body walking without head? You will never find. So therefore the world required a capable leader, one who is, there are many leaders who have very great skills, very great talents. They are very mesmerizing, very charismatic, heroic, but they have no character. They lack character, then big hole, good for nothing. Asar, they become asar. And there are people, leaders, who have a very great devotional script. They are very brahminical. They are completely absorbed in the Lord and they may do great bhajan. But they have no interest in administration. They have no interest in management. Like here, Prayavrata was in that category now. He had no inclination for administration. He was satisfied in bhajan. Sometimes one goes very deep in the scriptures, one will feel, oh, what is this material world? It's horrible. Lord's lotus feet is dripping with so much sweet honey. You just taste that nectar and go back to Godhead. So, in fact, the Gopi Geetam, one of the last verses says, great kings, after hearing the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, you know, they left their worldly kingdom and ran to the forest to attain Krishna. Like that the gopis are saying. So, they say that goes to show how attractive Krishna is. Like that. So then they also cannot take the rule of the world if they don't want to take responsibility, if they have no inclination or no interest at all. But there are other fellows who are very enthusiastic for taking the leadership and responsibility, but they have no element of sattva. They have no pious inclination or spiritual inclination. They only have desire to dominate and control. They can hardly do any good also to the world. So therefore, Brahma identified that Prevrat had both the competence to rule the world and he had the spiritual depth and sincerity. And Brahma was confident that he will not fall down. He will continue his rule very nicely. And Brahma told him, actually, by the blessings of superiors, you will be protected. Later on, you will read in the same chapter when you go ahead. Prevrat actually got married to a lady called Barhishmati. This Barhishmati was so beautiful. It is said when he and her got married, catching her hand, he was going for Agnivalam. At that Agnivalam, when they were doing, even Agni got stunned looking at her beauty, it is said. Even Agni was allured by her beauty, it is said. So all the demigods were watching from the skies, it is said. So she was extremely beautiful. So what happened to Prevrat? As he passed some years ruling as a king, later on, Prevrat laments for two reasons. One reason he says, oh, I have simply become a play toy in the hands of my beautiful wife. I have become a kridamriga in her hands and become attached to her in family life. And I have lost the good sense of my spiritual life. What I am supposed to do in the Gandhamandana Parvat, what Narada taught me. That was one lamentation. Another lamentation Prevrat had, he had taken the rim of his chariot and devoured the seven varshas, you know. So, he was thinking that I have become completely submerged in my worldly projects of making this world a better place and I have forgotten to worship my Supreme Lord. So, these two lamentations of Prevrat are very important for those who are accepting the Grihastashrama. In the Grihastashrama, we can become carried away by the worldly attachments to the family members, children, wife and parents and everything. Or we can become attached to our profession in terms of expanding the business and making a lot of money. It is such a, a race in this world. It gives a lot of kick, a lot of feeling of accomplishment. You know, you want to go, run, and make more money, expand more, that kind of. It's like unending game in the material world. And one may completely lose track of the spiritual life. So he lamented, but immediately following the lamentation, he renounced the world and again returned back to spiritual life very seriously. And there is a very important shloka which says that since you obeyed Brahmaji and he had received the compassionate glance of Brahma, he had received the blessings of Brahma, he had received the blessings of Swayambhava Manu, and he had taken the family life with the permission of Narada, with all these things. These things actually enveloped him and protected him. And that was the one which gave him that lamentation and realization by which he could take off his hands from the worldly things and then again focus back on the Lord and become as sincere and serious as he was before. When he was a brahmachari or in the renounced order, he became very serious and then went back to Godhead. Which teaches us another lesson. If we make our choices in life due to I like, I don't like, then we don't have any blessings. Then we are putting ourselves in a very dangerous situation of, you know, using our own ability to control our mind, senses and walk ahead. But in case something unpleasant is told to us to do, Reluctantly we accept it and we do it. Even though while doing it we may encounter some, you know, problems, but the blessings also follows us. The blessings, good wishes, guidance, supervision, witness, all those things follows us. So we will remain protected. So another thing that we see here is about the joking competition between this thing. Here it says, Prevrat was determined to remain in meditation, whereas Brahma was determined that he ruled the universe. And the Prabhupada says, like the grandfather and the grandson sometimes have a joking, pulling, pushing each other, competition. So that is another point Prabhupada says in the purport here. Brahma had come to praise Prevrata for his high standard of pronunciation, and then he would not be deviated, he assured him. So Brahma showed a merciful glance. To refuse the kingdom is your stubbornness, and I will make you rule the kingdom, that is my stubbornness. I will see whose stubbornness will prevail. Like that Brahma was joking. So sometime in the relationship between master and disciple, sometimes the disciple is giving 101 excuses of why something cannot be done, and the master has another plan. He presents his point of view. Of course, ultimately the disciple is surrendered to the master, but sometimes he may have his own notion. For example, Subal Prabhu, was invited by Prabhupada to come to Vrindavan, and Subal Prabhu considered it a great blessing. Oh, I am abroad and my Guru Maharaj is calling me to Vrindavan, and he had already heard Krishna book from Prabhupada, and he told all his devotee friends that I am going to India, Prabhupada has called me, I am going to stay in Vrindavan. While going to Vrindavan, he had a very cozy, rosy picture of Vrindavan. Kujata kokila hamsa sara sagana kirne mayura akule. The cuckoos are cooing, nightingales are singing, the peacocks are dancing, and Radha and Krishna are always dancing with the gopis in Vrindavan. Yamuna is flowing, the bumblebees are humming, and the cows and calves are mooing. So he had a very rosy idea of Vrindavan. He thought, as soon as I go to the temple, just throw away my luggage and then go to see Yamuna, go to see Govardhan. He had a very rosy picture. But as soon as he came to India, Prabhupada said, I have invited you specially for doing construction work in Vrindavan. And he was shocked. Really? And then what is that content of work he wanted to know? Within a couple of days he understood. He has to procure cement bags. He has to load the cement bags in the godown. And he has to sit with the construction plan, go in the construction area and supervise how the fellows are, mistries are constructing. Because if you don't keep a watch, things will be stolen, like iron rods and all those things. All the construction materials have come, so you have to keep an eye on them. Many times night you have to be awake. Many times you have to shout at the servants and the fellows, because they are not Vaishnava devotees. It's very difficult to get the work done from them. And you have to see the big spiritual edifice coming up, beautiful temple coming up. My Lord, such a huge project. You are shocked. How can I do that? You see, later on, when Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, Subhaprabhu met him and said, Prabhupada, this is not fit for me. I have come to Vrindavan to chant and read books and enhance my consciousness. I have come to, it's a holy place, I have come for my own development. And then Prabhupada said, see, Lord Krishna ordered Arjuna to fight the battle, but Arjuna wanted to go to forest. Prabhupada gave that example. I am telling you to take up this construction work, and you are telling me you want to chant and read. That's your personal program. But this is Krishna's mission. And Prabhupada said, just like ultimately Arjuna surrendered, and then he fought the battle. Similarly, you should surrender and do the construction work and complete the temple. So, Subhaprabhu was very put off, very unhappy about the whole thing. When Prabhupada had gone out of station, the construction had practically become standstill. And then Prabhupada came to know that nothing has moved. He asked Gurudas Prabhu and others, what happened? Why things are not moving? They said, Prabhupada, cement bags are not there. Prabhupada immediately called here, there, everywhere. The same night, a huge number of cement bags came. How he got it, only God knows. So, you will see with Srila Prabhupada, when it comes to bhajan and kirtan, he was fully absorbed. And when it comes to service work, and he was uncompromising in doing, expanding the movement. He was very enthusiastic. And he wanted to teach his devotees the same thing, that one should not think that expanding the movement is actually a headache or a troublesome thing or something which is not the core Krishna consciousness. If this type of thought will actually choke our movement, this type of thought will make us bhajanandis. And we will become, you know, stuck within four walls or within our bhajan kutis, and we will never be able to develop the movement. And that's what happened with Prabhupada's god brothers. Many of them actually, you know, that order was given by Bhaksan Saraswati not only for our Prabhupada. It was given in the bank of Radha Kund to a few devotees. But our Prabhupada took it. If you ever get money, print books. So this order, our Prabhupada took it to his heart. And then he published books, and then he expanded the movement. Similarly, he also distributed the holy name and established communities and congregation and built temples, and he expanded the movement so well. So, therefore, sometimes a disciple, like once His Holiness Tamalaksha Maharaj was asking Prabhupada, some of the disciples who are your senior most disciples, they are asking, can they go to Mayapur and retire so that they can intensify their bhajan and sadhana? It will be nice for them so that, you know, they can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, one should work hard and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then when one becomes sufficiently old, then they should go to Mayapur and then Arvindavan or Mayapur and just sit and chant and leave your body, Ante Narayana Smriti. And then Prabhupada said, as far as I am concerned, I don't think I am sufficiently old. Therefore, I am traveling across the globe and preaching. As soon as Tamaksha Maharaj heard, he said, Prabhupada, if you are not old, we are definitely not old. We are much younger than you. Many of them were in 20s in those days, 20s and 30s. So, in this way, Prabhupada would humorously present. Actually, he presented in such a way that the disciples understood that if you are a devotee, you should never make a retirement plan. You should be working hard in Krishna service. In Krishna service, there is no retirement. Like one time, Prabhupada told one temple president to continue. He was not very happy. There were a lot of problems in the local temple. He said, Prabhupada, I am submitting my resignation. And Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, there is no resignation. He said, I reject your resignation. He said, you cannot resign. And then, but the president insisted, no, Prabhupada, I am going to leave this temple and go to another place. And Prabhupada said, see, you may leave and go, but I cannot leave. This is Krishna's mission. If you are not ready to take it up, I have to find out somebody who will run it, because ultimately it is Krishna's mission. And he heard it, he said, okay, Prabhupada, I'll take it up. So he felt sorry for Prabhupada and he accepted the responsibility again. So, you will see that Srila Prabhupada, in a joking mood, he dealt with disciples in such a way that even those who otherwise wouldn't be able to do the job, he all took it up. Like one devotee went to meet Srila Prabhupada. He knew very well that all devotees were already murmuring, talking, the Prabhupada is going to call you to his room and give you the presidentship. Actually, he was very afraid, because what happens when you are a president, you know, you have to ensure that the money is brought for the temple, and then you have to manage the services of the temple. You have to do the administration of the temple. So much everybody, you know, hooks on to that one person and demands that things should be done like this, things should be done like that. You know, Prabhupada, he is doing this, he is doing that. So all day will go in simply administrating. One has no time to chant, one has no time to hear, read. So many devotees, even in Prabhupada's times, are afraid to take up the TP-ship, temple presidentship. So, that devotee was having many reasons to tell Prabhupada why he will not take. But when Prabhupada called him to his room, Prabhupada, instead of telling him to be a temple president, he was a grihastha devotee with children, with a child, a small newly born child. Papa told him, you take sannyas. Because now your wife has given a birth to a child now. Now she will take care. You can take sannyas. And that's what our Kardamuni did. Prabhupada said, Kardamuni told her, once I give you a child, I will take sannyas. So this fellow never had an answer for that. That was a new thing. He had made many points for why I don't want to be president. But he had no answer for this. He said, Prabhupada, the child is very small. That is all right. Your wife is there. She's an intelligent girl. She's a devotee. The other devotees will help her. And, you know, she can grow the child. And she has a lot of services in the temple she will do. And then you can travel around preaching. As the Prabhupada said. So he had completely melted. He was about to cry. He told many things. Prabhupada, my wife also needs me. No, your wife is ready to allow you to take sannyas. No problem. She is happy. You preach there and she will preach here. Then finally, he was not ready for it. Then Prabhupada said, okay, if you don't want to leave this project and travel around preaching as sannyasi, at least be a temple president. He said, okay, Prabhupada, I will do it, Prabhupada. See how intelligent Prabhupada was. So, he would joke in certain situations. There was one devotee, I don't have the name. Anyway, there was one devotee, there was one cook who had come from Odisha. He was a very special cook. So that cook, he would put little extra spice, he would put and make prasad, very special prasad. So Gargamani Prabhu was actually sick. But Prabhupada saw Gargamani Prabhu in the kitchen, you know. And Prabhupada said, hey Gargamani, you are supposed to be sick. You know, you are supposed to go in the health room and you relax and take medicine. Yes, Prabhupada, I am taking very simple, bland diet. But little spice I want. Because, you know, without little spice, Sabji, you know, then what is life? I will die only. You know, he said. And then Prabhupada had told him, okay, you are going to kitchen, you get me also some that spicy sabji. The other devotees were very upset. Because they knew that Prabhupada has been told by the doctor that you should not take anything spicy. The personal cook of Prabhupada, he has made special diet for Prabhupada already. But then Prabhupada told Gargamani, Gargamani also brought some sabji for Prabhupada, little bit from the kitchen. And they were all looking at Gargamani very angrily, you know, why are you bringing this, Prabhupada? And Gargamani Prabhu said, Prabhupada, they don't like you, eat this. And doctor doesn't like me, eat this. But I feel, no, if we can't eat this, then what is the use of living? Isn't it, Prabhupada? He said. And Prabhupada also laughed. Yeah, what you are saying is right. So, Prabhupada had some light moments like that. Therefore, you will see that the guru and the disciple relationship is a very sweet one. And one should know which are the things that are adjustable. And which are the things that should not be adjusted at all. They are very rigid. For example, when it came to Govinda Dasi Mataji, Prabhupada was rigid. Because a sannyasi cannot keep a lady disciple cooking for him and traveling with her alone. It's not proper. He was very rigid. You know, when it came to Gargarishi Prabhu taking little prasad, okay, chalo, no problem. So, you will see that Prabhupada was very much aware of principles which are like lighthouse principles, we call it. They cannot be changed. Like lighthouse doesn't move. It only sends light. It doesn't move. Similarly, shastras are like the light-emitting lighthouse. Some of the principles cannot be changed. Which should not be adjusted. And there are certain things which can be adjusted, like now Priyavrat. He is now taking some brahmachari training under Narada. And now there is a world situation which requires him to rule the world. So Brahma is making a slight adjustment in his situation. And he knew that if somebody is very serious in Brahmachari Ashrama, due to, sometimes it has happened, there was one Brahmachari in ISKCON who's, he was the only son and his father had passed away and his mother was alone at home and there was practically no money. While joining, he joined in a haste. So there was no money at home. And she had become very old. and they were actually a tenant in one place where they are paying a very small rent. But the owner now asked her to vacate. Now where will she go? She has to vacate and go. She is the old lady and he is a brahmachari in the temple. Now the temple president told her, see, your mother is in big trouble. You have to go home and you have to do a job and you have to take care of her. So he had to go. Then as soon as he went, he took a job and then they moved to another place. He lived at home, but he lived at home as a brahmachari all his life. He lived for several years till his mother passed away. Then he came back to temple. So it was a very specific situation. He had to support his mother because everybody in this world, their old age, they need some support. There should be some cousin, brother, sisters, or brother, sister. Somebody has to take care of them. That was a specific situation. In some cases, sometimes a brahmachari, due to the force of circumstances at home, he had to get married or something like that. But even though they got married, I remember there was one boy. He had come to Pune also, and I know him from Bombay days. He was the only son. So the parents were very much wanting to get him married. He absolutely didn't want to marry. But ultimately he had to marry. Currently he's in America now. So now, anyway, he got married. But he married a woman who had no interest to marry also. So her parents were very much forcing her to get married. Somehow they found that match. And now they both are married and in America. They don't have a child at all. Now both the parents are pushing them to have a child, but they don't want to have a child. They said, we never want to marry. You forced us to marry, so we married. But they are completely devoted to Krishna consciousness. We go to their home, you'll find a huge altar. And they bring tens or hundreds of people, cook a lot of prasadam and distribute prasadam to them. And they are preaching very vigorously. They see each other as only spiritual partners and nothing more than that. They have no interest in worldly enjoyment. But the circumstances forced him to marry. But the marriage did not become an impediment for him in that situation. Because if he wouldn't marry, that would cause certain problems for ISKCON. Because the parents were very dangerous people who could create some trouble for ISKCON on a larger scale. Due to which he was ordered by the Guru to marry. So he married. Okay. But he didn't compromise even a bit on his Krishna consciousness. He is as Krishna conscious as before. Very sincere and serious. So that is what is required. Even if one is adjusting something in a situation. But actually fanatical minds cannot understand this adjustment. Therefore, for people who are not very advanced, for them flat principles are given. You just do this. Don't change it. If you want to change anything, you have to ask me. Like that it is told for people who are not very broad-minded. Those who have a very broad perspective of life, they know how to keep the core principle intact without spoiling it and then make adjustments around it. So that requires a very great dirghadarshi, very broad vision. So this chapter is a very unique chapter in Bhagavatam where Priyavrat leaves his renounced position and takes to worldly situation for the sake of pleasing his great grandfather Brahma and his father Swayambhu Manu on the order of Narada. And how he was protected by their blessings. That's the lesson. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.